Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And a story goes that Henry Ford, the American automaker, was once asked to contribute to building a medical facility. So he gave $5,000, which was a substantial amount back in his day. The problem was the next day, the newspaper printed, Henry Ford gives $50,000 to build a hospital. Ford was irate when he saw the newspaper, and he called up the fundraiser and just gave him a piece of his mind. How could this happen? I said I was giving you $5,000, not $50,000. And the fundraiser says, you know what, that's okay. We'll just print a retraction saying Henry Ford reduces his donation to $5,000. Ford realized the bad PR that would cost, so he says, all right, I'll give you the $50,000 under one condition. That on the above the hospital on the entryway, you put this Bible verse. I came along and you took me in. You know, unfortunately, many Christians feel that way about giving to God. They don't give joyfully. They don't give willingly. They give grudgingly. Sometimes they feel that God has taken them. And they have to do this. They're stuck with it. This morning, we're beginning a three-week series that is called It's a Joy to Give. It's a joy to give. Back in December, we did the upside-down Christmas series that really focused on Christmas as a season of giving, not just receiving. We looked at Mary and Joseph, how they gave up their rights. We looked at the shepherds who gave their story. We looked at the wise men who gave their worship, and part of that worship was giving their wealth. Part of our worship is giving our wealth, giving our possessions, giving the things that God has blessed us with, and giving wealth is one of the most difficult things for followers of Jesus Christ to give to God. We like to hold on to our money. A couple of notable Christian leaders throughout Christian history, John Wesley and Martin Luther, had this to say about giving. Wesley said, the last part of a man to get converted is his wallet. That's the last part of a Christian. Martin Luther said, there are three conversions necessary to every man. The conversion of the head, the conversion of the heart, and the conversion of the purse. And the purse is the hardest of the three. It is difficult to give our money to God. And many of you have maybe experienced that at times. Some of you, maybe you're new with us today. This is your first time at Casper Faith. We want to welcome you today. We're so glad you're here. But you know, maybe you don't go to church much, and one of the reasons for that is because you think that's all churches are about, is give me your money. And you're here today, and we're talking about giving money, and you're saying, see, I was right. That just backs up my claim. That's all churches are about. You know what? It's not really churches that want your money. It's God who wants your money. And we're going to see this in our text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as the Apostle Paul is going to talk to the Christians at the church of Corinth. And he wants to develop in them the gift of giving, the grace of giving. This is what he says in chapter 8, verse 1. And Paul's going to be pointing them to a group of Christians in Macedonia, Macedonian Christians. He says, moreover, brothers, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, an abundance of their joy, and look at this, their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Sometimes people think, if I just had a lot of money, then I'd love to give to God. You know, if I was just a millionaire, I would love to give to God. If someone would just buy me a lottery ticket for my birthday, because I don't gamble as a Christian, but if someone gave me a lottery ticket, I'd love to win the lottery. Or, you know, I was on Christmas vacation, and you might be seeing the ads. I saw it even when we got back. Publishers Clearing House, win $5,000 for life. How many could handle $5,000 for life a week? $5,000 a week for life. $250,000 a year. I mean, yeah, if I just had a lot of money, then it would be easy to give to God. It would be a joy to give. But that's not what Paul says. Notice that the Macedonian Christians, they were poor, very poor. They were, Paul says, deep poverty, okay? They were so poor that they were po. They weren't poor, they were po. You know what po is? Po means you're so poor you can't afford the R on the end for poor, okay? They were po. But seriously, what does Paul say? Here's the thing. These people, the Macedonians, shouldn't have been giving. They should have been receiving. They were so poor, they should have been on the receiving end, yet they gave a lot, and there was an abundance of joy as they give. They were joyful givers, even though they were poor. Paul says in verse 3, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Listen to this, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift. You see, Paul probably felt bad about taking money from them who were really, really needy. How many have ever received a gift from someone you know they didn't have a lot of money and you're thinking, man, I don't want to take this. I mean, they need that themselves. How many have ever been in that situation? Yeah, and it's like, man, you need to keep that for yourself. And Paul says they were urging us. They were pleading that we would receive the gift. That we wouldn't say, just stop. You need to keep that. They were urging us. Take a look at verse 5. He says, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to God and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, he would complete this grace in you as well. Paul wants Titus, a guy who's on his missionary team, a part of his ministry team that travels all around with him, to come to the Corinthians now and help develop in them to be joyful givers, just as the Macedonians were. These people that are really poor, but they're pleading with Paul, take our money. We don't cheat us out of the joy of giving to God, giving to those in need. And Paul says, I want to develop this grace in you. Verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Paul says, I just don't want you to have a lot of faith. I don't want you just to be people of great love, people that are really diligent and committed to Jesus and holy, people that have great speech. You know, James said, if you are perfect in your tongue, then you're perfect in all things. And these people were very exemplary. They lived great lives. But Paul said, in the midst of all this, I don't want you to be shorted in this one grace, this grace of giving, giving generously and giving joyfully. I want you to abound in that just as you're abounding in every other part of your walk with God. This morning, we're going to talk about reasons that it is a joy to give to God. If you'd take out your sermon notes this morning from your bulletin, we're going to talk about 6 reasons that it is a joy to give to God. And by the way, on the inside of that is the homework for our life groups. And so if you've signed up for a life group, you can go ahead and take notes today. And then on the inside, there's a bunch of questions, some Bible study questions, some other questions. Make sure you fill that out and bring that to your life group. Groups that meet tonight, well, you've got assignments this afternoon. You can get started a little bit early. If yours meets later on this week, you got a little bit more time to fill this in. But use this, even if you're not in the life group, use the sermon notes, use the Bible study to take the theme of the message deeper into your life so you're just not a hearer of the word, but a doer also. Okay, let's take a look at the first reason that it is a joy to give to God. And the first reason is that I'm giving to the one that I love the most. When I give to God, I am giving to the one that I love the most. That's what Paul said in verse 5. He says that's how the Macedonians felt. They love God more than anything else. Verse 5, it says, they first gave themselves to the Lord. You see, God was first place. They loved God more than anything. And because God was first, it was easy to give to him. Because there wasn't, oh man, I should be giving to so-and-so, or I want this in my life, or I love that more. Because God was first, it was easy for them to give, even though their resources were very, very limited. I love to give gifts to my wife and my kids. It's fun at Christmas. How many like giving gifts to your loved ones? The joy on their face when they open the present, and it's that thing they wanted, or the thing they wanted, but you know they hadn't talked about it in a long time. They didn't think they were getting. How many, you saw some great expressions on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve from the gifts you gave? Yeah, a lot of you did. It's a joy to give to the people that you love. And so if we love God, it naturally should be a joy to give to him. If this morning during the offering, it was a struggle to give to God, if you gave it thinking, man, I really need this somewhere else, if it wasn't a joy to give, then what does that say about your love for God? You see, as we look at these things, these reasons that it's a joy to give, it's a time for us just to kind of take stock at the beginning of the new year and kind of maybe recalibrate our lives and say, is God really first place in my life? Is God number one? Because if I struggle with giving to God, then that's telling me, Craig, your love for God is not what it should be. You're loving other things or other people, or you have other priorities over Jesus. And that's why it's a joy to give to God, because we should love him more than anything else. That's the first reason it's a joy to give to God. Number two in your notes, the second reason it's a joy to give to God is that I'm gaining true treasures that never wear out or decrease. I'm gaining true treasures that never wear out or decrease. When you buy a new car, it begins to depreciate and deteriorate the moment you drive it off the lot. If you buy a home, it requires maintenance. I don't care how new the home is, there's some maintenance that has to be done to it. You buy clothes in time, they fade out, they wear out, or they grow out, or really you grow out. You know, everything in this world, all these earthly treasures, they simply don't last. When we give to God, however, we're sending our money on ahead. It's an investment that never crashes with the stock market. It's an investment that never loses its value. Jesus said this to his followers in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew records it in his gospel, verse 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Everything on earth is going to diminish over time. But what you give to God keeps its value. The writer of Proverbs said in verse 20 or chapter 23, verses 4 and 5 in the Living Bible, don't try to weary yourself trying to get rich. Why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though they had wings of a bird. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. It's been said, but the people that win the lottery, within 5 years' time, they're flat broke. You know why? Because a lot of those people don't have good money management, and when they get those riches, they just spend them and they're gone, and they're right back where they started from. And that's just how riches are. That's how our human nature is. The more I get, the more I want to spend. The more we get, you upsize your house. How many have upsized your house since you first got married, okay? Or your apartment or whatever it is. Raise your hand high. Okay, that's most people. You have upsized, you've upgraded, went to a nicer neighborhood, nicer features, went to a two-car garage instead of a one-car garage. That's human nature. Now, the older you get, boy, that's too much house to take care of. Let me get a townhouse, a condominium, so I don't have to shovel that snow anymore. Then we downsize. But, you know, for most of our life, we're looking at bigger, better, more, more, more. That's human nature. And those things wear out, fade out. They just don't last. There's an old saying that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. How many have ever heard that before? You know what it should be? It really, the truth is, he who dies with the most toys still dies, and he doesn't take them with him. Because you don't take them with him. You've never seen a hearse pull a U-Haul trailer. Because you can't take it with you. Randy Alcorn in the book Treasure Principle says, our earthly treasure leaves us while we live, or we leave it when we die. No exceptions. Our earthly treasure, it leaves us while we live, and when we leave, then it stays here. We can't take it with us. And so these earthly riches, they're fleeting, they don't last, they wear out and they decrease. But when you give to God, you're storing up treasure in heaven that can't be stolen. It doesn't wear out, it doesn't increase, it just increases in time and it compounds. That's why it is a joy to give to God, because we're gaining true treasure, real treasure. Okay, the third reason it's a joy to give to God is because it's fun to give someone else's money away. It's fun to give someone else's money away. If someone came up to you today and said, I need $100, a total stranger came up to you and says, I'm needy, I need $100, it'd be a little bit of a struggle for you to give $100. But if I came up to you and I handed every one of you $100 and I says, okay, this is not your money to keep, but when someone comes to you for a need, I want you to give it away, how many would then have a lot more fun giving away that money than your own money? Raise your hand. Be honest. Yeah, because it's fun to give someone else's money away. You want to keep your own money. But here's the real thing. Look at letter A in your notes. God owns everything. I'm his money manager. The reality is that your money is not your money. It's God's money. We are just the managers, the stewards of his money, of his possessions. Your car is not your car, it's God's car. Your house is not your house, it's God's house. Your coat, your clothes, your watch, your rings, your TV, they're not yours, they are God's. And so they don't belong to you. We see in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in the world is God's. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord God Almighty. That's pretty direct, isn't it? God says, hey, all that money, that's mine. It's mine. God is just giving it to us to manage. You say, wait a second, Craig. I work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. There's blood, sweat, and tears that goes in to that paycheck. I earn that paycheck. That's mine. This is what God said to the Israelites when they moved in to the promised land, when God gave them houses they hadn't built, vineyards they hadn't planted, fields that were not theirs that they hadn't purchased. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, God says, be careful then when you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. You see, God has given us our bodies that can do the work. He's given us our minds that think. He's given us our physical strength that we can work a whole day and not be exhausted where we have to quit an hour or two into it. God has given us favor with our employers that we get hired. God has helped us to see potential problems that if weren't caught, they could bankrupt us or cause us to be fired from our position. God has given us networks and contacts if we're in sales. He opens up doors. He opens those things up for us. Everything about our job is a gift from God. We are just His managers. And we have to realize that all of our finances, all of our possessions, all of our wealth are not ours, they are His. And letter B there in your sermon notes, God owns everything, including me. God just doesn't own what I have, He owns who I am. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, just a couple of chapters before he's talking about giving. He says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." If I realize that God owns everything that I have, including me, and it's not really mine, I'm just managing it as He says. If I realize that it's someone else's stuff and it's not my stuff, it's a joy to give. If I realize this really isn't mine, God just said, "Here, keep it for a while," and when I say give it, give it, it's a whole lot easier to give, and it's a joy to give because it's not really my bank account, it's God's bank account. I'm just the manager over it. Okay, let's look at the fourth reason it's a joy to give. The fourth reason is because I receive multiple blessings. I receive multiple blessings. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given to you." Just a little bit. Hardly anything that compares to what you gave. No, is that what it says? No. He says, "Given is given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put back into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." If you use a teaspoon and say, "I'm giving that to God," what you measure it out and you give to God, He'll give a teaspoon back. You give a gallon, He gives a gallon. You give a truckload, He gives a truckload. You can't outgive God. We can't outgive God. It's like the farmer, what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "Remember a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need." You see, God's reminding the Corinthians in this second letter to them, hey, have you developed that grace of giving joyfully, where it's a joy to give to God? He says, "Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." I remember several years ago when our oldest daughter, who's now married, but our oldest daughter, Erin, she was just 12 years old, and we were some at some state meetings for the Assemblies of God, and there was a missionary there who was sharing about giving to the kingdom, and at the end, there was this big project that they presented about building a Bible college down in Bolivia, and my daughter, Erin, everyone was given a commitment form, and my 12-year-old daughter, she wrote down what she was going to give, and it wasn't a large amount financially, but it represented 2 months of her allowance, a whole 2 months. And when I saw that number, that she was writing that down as a dad, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to double her allowance. You know, because it was like, oh, first of all, I was excited. God, she's getting a heart for missions. She's getting outside of herself. She's seeing people in other parts of the world that need Jesus, and she wants to give to that. She wants to be a part of that. And man, my heart just leapt within me. But also, then I wanted to bless her back. I wanted to make up for what she was giving away. And yet that's God's same heart to us. When he sees that, man, they love to give the missions. They love to give to my work. They love to help this person. They love to go there. God says, I'm going to pour out. You see, if they're giving, I'm going to give back to them. If they're not giving, I don't need to give them anymore. You see, if we're keeping everything and not giving it away, then why would God give us more? Because it's his money, and if we're going to hold on to it and not give his money away, then he says, I'm going to give it to the person that's giving my money away so that I can bless others and help others through them. The people that hang on to it, there's no need to give them anything. So it's a joy to give because we receive multiple blessings. But here's the thing, okay? You and I cannot just go out and break other biblical principles when it comes to giving. We can't say, okay, I'm going to be generous and give away, but I'm also going to go out and I'm going to buy a new house and run up a credit card debt. And I'm going to buy a couple of new cars. You know, we can't go out and do foolish things. We have to follow all of God's financial principles if we expect financial blessing. Because you can't break God's law in one area and expect to be blessed just because you're obeying it in another area. How many know if you stop at every stop sign but you speed, you're still getting a ticket, right? And so I just can't say, well, I'm going to tithe and I'm going to give and I'm going to do all this to missions, but then I'm also going to go out and spend like crazy. So we can't live irresponsibly, okay? All right, let's review what we've learned so far. It's a joy to give to God because we're giving to the one that we love the most. Secondly, I'm gaining true treasures that never wear out or decrease. Number three, it's fun to give away someone else's money. And number four, I receive multiple blessings. Number five, the fifth reason it's a joy to give to God is because it breaks the bondage of materialism. It breaks the bondage of materialism. Giving to God is the antidote for materialism. Our earthly possessions can become our masters and rob us of joy. W.H. Vanderbilt said, the care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. How many would say, I would love to have that care in my life? God, give me that trial. Yeah, give me that trial. He says, there's no pleasure in it. Okay, God, let me experience that one, all right? Rockefeller says, I have made millions, but they've brought me no happiness. Someone once asked John Rockefeller, how much money does it take to make you happy? You know what he said? Just $1 more. Just $1 more. In other words, we're never satisfied. We always want more. And when we give, it breaks that bondage of materialism, that prison of saying, oh, I got to hold on to my money. I got to take care of myself. I got to look out for number one. Who should be number one in our lives? God. And that's why it should be a joy to give our money away, because he's number one, not us. And so it breaks that bondage of materialism. And then the last reason that it's a joy to give to God is that my love for heaven grows as I give. My love for heaven grows as I give because my heart always goes where I put God's money. It's just like the needle on a compass. Wherever you go with the compass, that needle is always pointing to north. Our money, where we put our money, that's where our heart goes. And so if we're putting our money to God, then that's where it goes. If we're putting our money to clothing or to hobbies, that's where our heart is going to go. That's what will become our master, the thing that we love and prioritize the most. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, where you invest your finances, that's where your heart is going to be. And sadly, there's a lot of followers of Jesus Christ that they don't want to go to heaven. You know why? Because they have too many toys here on earth, and they don't want to lose their toys. They're more connected to the earth than they are to heaven. They're not putting their money in heaven. They're not investing treasure in heaven, laying it up. Instead, their home is here. How many have ever lived in a rental home or rented an apartment? Tom, just raise your hand. Several of you have, okay? I'm going to ask a question. How many of you remodeled the rental? When you didn't own it, you're just renting it. How many put in new carpet even though the carpet needed it? Very few of you. You didn't own it, okay? It's not your rental. You're not making money off it. You're just renting it temporary. How many invested money in your rental? Not a lot of you. How many own a house and you put money, big time money, new floor, new carpet, you paint it, maybe put on an addition to your house, the thing that you own, raise your hand. Yeah. The difference is when I don't own it, I don't invest in it. When I don't see it as being mine, then I'm not going to give it away. And here's the thing, this earth is not my home. This earth is just a rental. Heaven is my home. And where maybe you do put a little bit into the rental, you don't put a whole lot into it. You're saving up for that home. Paul said, there's many scriptures, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it says, we are travelers and foreigners passing through just like we're on a trip. When you go on vacation, you don't invest in a property on vacation. You know, you're passing from here. If you're going, let's say you're going to go to Phoenix. How many of you stop in the middle of Colorado and you buy a house in Colorado along the way on your trip? No, you don't do that. You'll get a hotel room for a night, but you're not going to buy a house to sleep in for a night because you're just passing through. You don't put a lot into it when you're just passing through. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors representing our true country of heaven. Paul said in Philippians 3:20 that our citizenship is in heaven. If you go to a foreign country and you visit on vacation, you don't buy a home because you know you're not going to live there. You buy in the country that is your country. And as Christians, this earth is not our home. Heaven is our home. And that's why if heaven's my real home, as I'm putting money there, my love for heaven is going to grow. I'm going to be more attached to heaven than to the things of this earth. It's a joy to give to God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.